Alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in Genesis 18. Where we'll pick up the exegesis of verses 17 through 21. All right, as our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure you're in the filling of God the Holy Spirit, only in the state of spirituality, being in fellowship, as we would say. Is the believer priest able to ascertain the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature? Our flesh, which is hostile to the truth of doctrine, does what it can do to distort it, to get us to disregard it or otherwise twist it in some form or fashion. We want to hear it clearly, at least apprehend it off the bat, purely, so that we have maximum opportunity to then understand truly the issues of God's plan for our life, issues that are lost on probably the majority of believers out there today, in essence. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for, again, the opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit bless our time and fellowship together with one another as well as with you. All via God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in chapter 18, as we get to verse 16, there's a transition in regards to the focus of the context at hand, and that is we now go into the second main purpose and reason why Yahweh is on the scene along with the two angelic visitors in regards to visiting Abraham in this particular geographical area of the world at this time, here being at the Oaks of Mamre. And that is that he is now looking at the impending destruction of the region of Sodom and Gomorrah in these cities. And as Abraham is accompanying his divine visitors on down the road after their feast, Yahweh breaks into conversation. That's where we pick up verses 17 through 21. This is the second scene in a list of 11 different scenes throughout the remainder of this chapter, in chapter 19. I've titled these particular verses Divine Consideration and Reasoning. For what purpose, hopefully you'll see when we get into it. All right, beginning, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? You have the wow conjunction, followed with the proper noun. The Lord, Yahweh, said is our verb, amar. A-M-A-R. Cal perfect third masculine singular. Then you have the interrogative particle ha, plus the verb PL participle masculine singular absolute. Our verb translated hide here, kasah, K-A-S-A-H. Literally, this word means to cover, conceal, hide. PL is intensive. We would say utterly hide or conceal. Shall completely, utterly hide. Follow with the emphatic use of the pronoun, first common singular, ani, I myself. A-N-I-Y. From Abraham's preposition men, follow with the proper noun, Abraham. What I'm about to do, which or that I am about to do, you have the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R, plus the pronoun again, emphatic, common, first common singular, ani, repeated, I myself, am doing, literally, in the process of carrying out. You have the cal participle verb denoting continuous action. Masculine singular, absolute, or to do verb here, to work, can be translated many different ways. Asah, A-S-A-H. Then he gives the a cause, in part, not the main cause, but further consideration, if you will, in regards to the question that he asked, verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation. Since is a vowel conjunction, followed with a proper noun, Abraham. Will surely become is our grammatical construct, as we have seen already previously, more than a couple occasions now. Becoming, he will become. Translated, surely become. You have the cal infinitive absolute of the verb hayah, followed with hayah, then in the imperfect third masculine singular form. Here, becoming, he will become, literally as a nation, great and mighty in the Hebrew. You have the preposition lamed, followed with our noun, common masculine singular absolute, word for nation is goy, G-O-I-Y. As a nation, there in the singular. Great is the adjective masculine singular, gadol, G-A-D-O-L, described in this fashion before, this word, for Abraham as a nation. And, added to it, wow conjunction, then the adjective masculine singular, our word for mighty, atsum, A-T-S-U-M. And in him, as the twofold consideration is here, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Again, while consecutive, first we have the verb to be blessed is the nephal perfect third common plural barak, B-A-R-A-K, and they will be blessed, followed with the phrase in him, preposition with the third masculine singular suffix of bet, in him. Here, all the nations. You have the common masculine singular constructive noun for all, kol, K-O-L. Then our noun for nations in the plural construct, goy, G-O-Y-M, G-O-I-Y, excuse me. Of the earth, definite article, with our noun for earth, common feminine singular absolute, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, of all the nations of the earth, literally, and they will be blessed in him, all the nations of the earth. In verse 19, it says, stated as a matter of fact, both considerations. Verse 19, now we have the primary cause behind the question. For or because I have chosen him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him. You have the conjunction key, for or because, K-I-Y. Then the verb chosen is unfortunate in the New American Standard. It's literally, I have known him. You had the cal perfect first common singular with the third masculine singular suffix, our verb yada, Y-A-D-A, where you get yada, 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 no, knowledge, you know. For I have known him, translated, chosen him. We'll deal with that in the notes. Then, for a purpose or result, you have the preposition la, ma'an, in order that. L-E-M-A-A-N, lima, on. In order that, you Yeah, the relative pronoun asher follows in order that which. Again, asher, A-S-H-E-R. Our verb to command comes next. P-L, imperfect third masculine singular, tasawa, T-A-S-A-W-A, tasawa. Command or charge. Then you have to sign the direct object to whom the command is directed, obviously. His children and his household after him. His children is literally his sons. Common masculine plural, constructive third masculine singular suffix, a noun, ben, B-E-N. Son or children. If there's a male involved, then it'll be masculine. And while conjunction, sign the direct object repeated. And then the word household is the common masculine singular construct with the third masculine singular suffix, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. After him is the adverb with the third feminine singular suffix, akare. And notice the feminine suffix after him, after her, literally. Feminine suffix looks and points to the soul, which is nefesh, is my consideration in translation. A-C-H for interpretation. A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. To keep the way of the Lord. Now I have the purpose for commanding here. Twofold. To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice first. You have the wow consecutive plus the cow perfect third common plural. Our verb is shamar. S-H-A-M-A-R. So they will keep, guard, or observe. The way of is your common both singular construct or noun, Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Yahweh, the Lord, proper noun. By doing righteousness and justice, you have the preposition lamed, followed with the cal verb infinitive construct, our verb to do again, asah, A-S-A-H, by doing, to do. Then our two words, righteousness and justice. The first noun is a common feminine singular absolute, tesedakah, tesedakah, T-S-E-D-E-Q-A-H. And, while conjunction, justice is a common masculine singular absolute, mishapath, mishapath, M-I-S-H-E-P-A-T-H. Then the second line of cause, in order that the Lord may, or purpose with the cause, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. In order that, again, is our preposition lema'an that we saw. To begin with, in order that he may command, in order that he may now bring upon Abraham. That you have the hifil infinitive construct, bow. The verb bo, B-O, nor that, causing to bring, here Yahweh, the Lord, proper noun, upon Abraham is the preposition all, A-L, followed with our noun Abraham, name Abraham. Then you have to sign a direct object, what is to bring, followed with the relative pronoun asher, that which. Then you have the verb, P-L, perfect third masculine singular, dabar, D-A-B-A-R. Had utterly he spoke, that he spoke, is the verb. About him is the preposition, all, E-N-A-L, with the third masculine singular suffix. Verse 20. Then the Lord reveals what he's going to do, but not explicitly. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly great. So there's two lines of course of conversation, of dialogue. First, the question with consideration as to the question itself, and now the proclamation. or declaration. And the Lord said, our general construction, without consecutive, our verb amar, A-M-A-R, cal imperfect, third masculine singer, Yahweh. Then you have, in the Hebrew, the common feminine singular construct noun, Zeaka. Z-E-A-Q-A-H. The root of this word has a nuance of outrage or shouting, complaint, Brown Drivers Briggs, page 277A. Translated here, the outcry of. Normally it would mean distress, but it has an underlying meaning of outrage, shouting, complaint. Here, the two principles of subject is Sodom and Gomorrah, both transliterated with the wow conjunction. Is indeed great, yet a conjunction key here, indeed or certainly, K-I-Y. Great is your, is great is the cow perfect third feminine singer, Ravav, R-A-B-A-B. It, the outcry, is great is the meaning here. And their sin is exceedingly grave. Wow conjunction. Then our noun for sin, common feminine singer struck with the third masculine plural suffix, chadath. C-H-A-T-T-A-T-H. Chadath. Their sin. And then the conjunction key repeated, certainly. Then our verb to be great or grave is the cow perfect third feminine singer, kabad. K-A-B-A-D. Literally means to be heavy. So it's severe or grave. And then you have the adverb following, exceedingly meod. M-E-O-D. Then he shows his intentions, verse 21. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to his outcry which has come to me. you have the cow imperfect first common singular, our verb yarad, or yarad, Y-A-R-A-D. It's a coordinative in form, shows intent. I will go down, this is intentions, or descend. Now is the interjectory particle na, N-A. And C is the wow consecutive with the cal imperfect first common singular, our verb ra'a, again coordinative, R-A-A-H. I will have seen is the literal translation. Then you have the definite article followed with the preposition kaf. Hebrew, it looks backwards, C, with a dogus forte in the middle. Here, it emphasizes that which is quantitative. See all their activities, if you will. That accordingly, or in like of, as that may be translated. Their outcry, according to his outcry, their outcry, literally, the common feminine singular construct, with the third feminine singular suffix now of the verb, the noun, tse-a-ka, T-S-E-A-Q-A-H. Again, we see a feminine ending with the suffix. It looks at the fact all this comes from within the individual, their souls. People make choices of what they do. All this garbage of blaming society and everything else for why people are the way they are is nothing more than garbage. People make their own choices. Obviously, there are areas that people are forced into certain activities. But otherwise, that which is free to go one direction or another, it comes from choice, from the soul. Their outcry, which has come to me is a, you have the definite article, follow with the cow, perfecter, feminine singer, our verb bow again, come or go, either way, it may be translated, bring, brought, B-O. To me is the preposition L with the first common singular suffix, E-L, reference to God, Yahweh. And then you have, as a final part of the clause there, is as they have done entirely or completely. The cow, perfect, third common plural, asah, a verb again, asah, A-S-A-H, to do. Then our word for entirely, completely, is the preposition kalah, K-A-L-A-H. And if not, I will know. And if not is the wow conjunction, followed with the conjunction M, I am, followed with a negative lo. Then I will know, it's the same verb as in beginning verse 19, translated chosen, is yada, in the cohortive form, cal imperfect, first common singular, Y-A-D-A-A. So they can get it right one time and mess it up the second or another time. All right. Rereading here, verses 17 through 21. And the Lord said, shall I completely conceal from Abraham what I am myself about to do? Verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 19, for because I have chosen him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. The promises of the covenant obviously in view. Verse 20, and the Lord said, and the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly heavy or grave, severe. Verse 21, I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to this outcry which has come to me. And if not, I will know. All right. Analysis of verses 17 through 21. 1. Abraham's ardent desire for fellowship with Yahweh and his angelic guest finds further benefit. Again, not to lose sight, maintaining the flow of context, the flavor that the author so desires to show us. And Abraham gets up with his visitors as they're walking on, obviously heading out, and he wants to accompany them as long as it is acceptable and possible. It shows his desire for fellowship in this vein, and because he has stuck with him, another benefit is now going to come his way. Obviously, he has the benefit of all that's transpired beforehand with Sarah. In the conversation there, the opportunity to apply hospitality to God Himself and two elect angels. That was quite a deal. Now it finds further benefit. The benefit of fellowship with those who hold to God's standards in regard to the plan of God is seen here. 2, that as it pertains to Abraham now, gaining further doctrinal insight, which is related to in verses 17 through 21, and then freedom to respond with doctrine himself, which is the essence of verses 22 through 33, ending the chapter. He is going to hear something from Yahweh that nobody else knows except for God. And the angels with him. And that's going to then open the door for Abraham to articulate doctrine in his soul, and if you will, gain even further insight into the plan of God in the long discourse of Abraham asking Yahweh these series of questions that comes up after the fact in regards to will he destroy the righteous with the wicked, and then he gives the different percentages of numbers as related in that regards. And that's in scene 3, the next scene. So scenes 2 and 3 illustrate the common ground for true fellowship. That is, doctrinal rapport between parties. True fellowship has the like-mindedness of doctrine between the two parties. They tend to hold the similarity of interest and frame of reference in regards to God's plan and Bible doctrine. That makes for the best kind of fellowship. If you don't have that involved in the relationship, then your fellowship is something other than based on doctrinal reasons. And obviously, true fellowship has doctrinal rapport. That's why we hold to a principle of like-mindedness in regards to desiring to be with others. Doctrine is designed to bring that result among believers to bear, as Paul's made clear in the New Testament, of his desire for believers to be like-minded in regards to his teaching. So we have an illustration here of good fellowship, true fellowship, doctrinal fellowship, and that scene between the expression of doctrine on both sides of the coin. For the scenario now, as we approach it here in these verses 17 through 21, the scenario in general here views Abraham escorting his guest down the road as a final act of hospitality from verse 16. And then Yahweh informing him of his plan to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, the subject of verses 20 and 21. 5, verses 23 and following make clear that Abraham came to understand that judgment was in view. Now, what should be obvious to the careful reader of these verses is Yahweh doesn't specifically say, I'm going to go and destroy these two cities. But one can safely assume, and rightly so, that somehow Abraham came to understand, well, that's exactly what he's talking about in regards to the conversation. And the verses in and of themselves expose a lot of the character of Abraham, as well as obviously God dealing with Abraham and believers otherwise in general, that superficially read is grossly missed in regards to the edification designed in Abraham being an example of positive volition in the angelic conflict. So 6, now it is how Yahweh approaches the subject. Now in our verses 17 through 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that is of most interest and designed to build suspense. It is, if you will, unique in fashion. It can be taken a couple ways. And also is designed to build a suspense to the climax of the whole scenario of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that comes about in chapter 19. That it's going to happen. So 7, the details here in how Yahweh approaches Abraham in regards to the conversation at hand, etc. The details expose doctrinal insight, point 7, here into the person of Yahweh, that is God, and his interaction with men positive and negative volition alike. These verses hold a great lesson, in part using language of accommodation, with respect to attributes of God and what God is like. Doctrine teaches us who and what God is, as well as the plan of God in that respect. And this gives us insight in the mechanics of God's working, mostly centering, not exclusively, but mostly centering on His attribute of omniscience. God possesses all knowledge and always has. God sees all things, if you will. And He's known all things from eternity past. He is able, therefore, to, in relationship to time, to see all the contingencies that would be forthcoming in regards to all aspects of the creation that He determined to create, in regards to not only the angelic creation, but human history, which is of most personal concern for each and every one of us. So, His attribute of omniscience obviously is truly of such magnitude it's hard for us to completely wrap our minds around it. But here we have an opportunity in language of accommodation to delve into that attribute and truly see how God functions, and as He is as God in relationship to His creation of mankind and history in this respect. So, 8, and because of that, the verses have some detail to them that you just have to hang in there with it, but if you do, the end result should be quite edifying in regards to your own appreciation of the plan of God, or God Himself, in operation with us, as well as positive volition in general. Alright, so 8 here, moving on. Some interpreters regard verses 17 through 19 as a soliloquy, a dramatic oration, if you will. Whereas Yahweh is speaking to Himself and or, could be both or, using mental telepathy with the angelic companions. In other words, you can see why that impression is left. Twice it states that He speaks, the Lord said, in verses 17 through 19, and then 20, it says He says again, and how He could be simply speaking to Himself. But that is not the only alternative. So 9, now while it is clear He is not addressing Abraham directly. I mean, He's referring to Abraham, if you will, in the third person here. Almost like He's not there. But obviously Abraham is it. So while it's clear He's not addressing Abraham directly, He could be conferring with the two angels aloud in such manner as Abraham indirectly still hears the conversation. That's not uncommon when one may have intentions with respect to piquing the interest of another person that's with them as an aside. Three or four people in a group, one person engages in conversation directed towards two people concerning the other person there. But that is obviously to pique the individual's curiosity, that's to the side. So it doesn't say specifically whether He is silent or not. And we need to address the situation as it also could be as an alternative here. And that is that He could simply just be speaking out loud, giving His attention verbally, if you will, towards the angels. But really, by default, it's directed towards Abraham. Abraham's the subject of the situation. Then he goes in and explains what he's going to do to, or what's about the situation in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. So 10, Yahweh is not snubbing or circumventing Abraham here, but rather tactically seeks to draw him into conversation. You look at these verses, and you know, we get to the verses where Abraham starts asking the questions in regards to Sodom, and at what point does God determine to bring upon this catastrophic judgment? He's going to annihilate this place. Well, what stems that? Most people simply just assume because Lot lives there, that's his sole motivation. But yet, in the whole conversation that Abraham has with Yahweh, Lot's not mentioned. And right now, we're going to have two verses that give us a great lesson in regards to God's omniscience, how well he knows Abraham and history in and of itself. And you can't figure out that God knows that Lot's there. So these are questions and things that, I mean, you've got to address at least in your thinking, in your studies. And this is why if you take it and look at it in such depth, other avenues open in regards to truly what's being brought out here. And the approach is designed to pique Abraham's curiosity, provide an open door otherwise then to respond after the fact. In such fashion, it's just an approach that one might take with another to stimulate it without any coercing. Abraham didn't coerce him in regards to hospitality. God's not going to force him in this situation. So 12, now either way, neither view, whether it is viewed as a soliloquy or overtly audible, whether he's thinking to himself, angels can hear him, or he's speaking out loud, so Abraham can also hear him. And neither one of these views damages the doctrinal purpose of Yahweh's approach to Abraham here in verses 17 through 19. So, 13, first, the doctrinal purpose. First, it is designed to demonstrate that God is a personality. God is a person, a real person. In parentheses, not some non-entity or disengaged intelligence. That's how the cosmos like to try to view God. Some unexplainable force. Really has no personal interest in regards to the existence of the universe, the creation, and he's disconnected, if you will, in regards to any personal involvement as we would understand it as a human being. See? Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The very existence of the Son of God in the incarnation screams out otherwise. And first and foremost, our verses illustrate, as Yahweh is the one that is speaking, that God is a personality, continuing here at point 13, that considers on a very personal level the events of human history, individually and otherwise, and uses reason to exact his actions in all things. He's not some just computer, like in some movie, Rabbit One or whatever the computer's name is, you know, and you see him out there. Figuring out with all a base of knowledge of decision making and things of this nature. No, he's a real person. He's viewed as a real person. The language is always perceives him as a real person. He, God, see. Who, pronouns used with him. Other aspects in regards to his activities. And otherwise, it's not some just computerized process that he comes to conclusion. His process in determining all aspects regards to his omniscience includes reasoning. reasoning as we would understand reasoning. And we have here this language of accommodation preserved for us in example of application by Yahweh in Christophany to show us this. So 14 is language that gives insight as to the mechanics or the workings of God's omniscience as it relates to contemplation, that is, one's scrutiny, examination, anticipation. These are all would be synonymous with the contemplation. So first, as it relates to contemplation, then consideration, to consider things, to deliberate, deliberation, to look at the consequence of the situation, and then reasoning. Reasoning is the willful and rational determination that men use, as we understand it, in decision making. Yes, he has known all things for all eternity, but the workings of that knowledge in determining through his sovereign will of how things are going to be works in a way that is very similar, if not, if you will, exact in regards to our own understanding of how we come to willful determinations in regards to our own life. First you contemplate, you consider, and then you reason it out with willful determination. You make your choice, see, in that regards, in all the decisions that he's made. So, as you can see, the verses is not a first grade lesson. It is truly designed to educate us at a higher level if we're willing to exert our own brain power to this degree. All right, so that's the first aspect. It shows the mechanics of God's his workings of his omniscience, as well as showing that he is personable. He is a person. And then second, not to be missed, that's point 15. Second, Yahweh's approach illustrates the fact that God does not hide from positive volition, doctrine essential to understanding his plan in human history, using the process, as we see in regards to his omniscience, of contemplation, consideration, and reasoning. Confer Amos 3:7. Amos, one of the minor prophets, doesn't mean that his doctrine is any less than. Proclaims as a prophet, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God, Yahweh, El or Elohim, does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel, the insight of what he's going to do to his servants, the prophets, those who are commissioned or designated otherwise to relate the information on to others. So the actions of God's plan for those who are positive, designated his prophets, are revealed in such fashion as the individuals in view can be completely and totally prepared for whatever they may face in regards to God's plan. See, that's what he's stating. On the other end of the coin, we know from other scriptures that he keeps hidden from those who are negative the same issues. And you have a spectrum, obviously, of insight versus blindness that may fill in the gap from absolutely nothing and to and a mixture of to the point of having full exposure, if you will, in regards to the doctrine. So Yahweh's approach here secondarily illustrates the fact that God does not hide from positive volition doctrine essential to understanding His plan in human history. That's what He's getting ready to do on Abraham's part, on his behalf. Now you got to think about this. Abraham had no role in delivering Lot. So you got to think, how's all this going to apply? Well, that's what I'm going to be trying to address for us as we go through this. Not only these verses, but the verses to follow. So 16, continuing here in our frame of thinking. He, God, makes privy to positive volition insight into the workings of human history as it is destined to be fulfilled in the plan of God, otherwise not comprehended by the cosmos, as I've stated. And the example there for documentation is Matthew 13, 10 through 13. So this is one of the realities of life and perception. Probably a lot of people think that knowing God's plan is really no big deal. It just gives you insight into what it means to be religious. It's so far removed from that narrow view, it's not even funny. To know God's plan is to comprehend human history in a way and in such a depth that falls on blind eyes by the rest of the world, generally speaking. They, if you will, are pawns in the play, and obviously believers are too, in the sense of this is Satan's world, and we have our own parts that we do in that regards. But they are like the actress that had not been given any look into, you know, the play or the movie otherwise, as designed by the director, and don't know really what's going on. All I know, standing here, and I'm going, woohoo, or whatever they're supposed to do. Now, that to me, that's just, that is a blessing. To have this kind of insight, to know, okay, this is the way the world's going. This is what you can expect, see. In regards to all the contingencies of history, as it pertains to us specifically, in regards to when we live in history, and we'll deal with that. Now, on the other end of the coin, for those who are not positive, they remain blind to these realities. And it's not just saving faith that they remain blind to. They remain blind to prophecy in general. See. All right. Maybe I've got my point across there. Matthew 13, 10 through 13. And disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? This is a Yahweh incarnate now. And he answered and said to them, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God's plan. God's plan as pertains to His creation of planet Earth and the universe. As it will at one time have God's kingdom actually politically settled on this planet. And then the eternal state, obviously, as we know, that follows behind. It has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been granted. Them is the crowd in general. The followers that Christ says, they're not really here for the truth. They're here because they're entertained or they want to be fed. See? It's a free meal. How many people jump on the bandwagon when it's a free meal? See? And there it is. But to have this insight in regards to plan of God, and Jesus intentionally taught in such fashion, Don't let people throw you say, well, you know, your pastor made it. It's not clear enough in regards to things. Well, if he's going along with the Bible and he's teaching the Bible, that's clear enough. And positive volition will see it. Whoever has, verse 12, to him shall more be given. One of the things you can look forward to as continued motivation, encouragement, to hang in there and study the way that we study, is the more we hang in there with it, the more insight we should be gaining as we go along in regards to our Christian life, in regards to God's plan. And he shall have an abundance, verse 12. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. You leave the truth. It will have a negative impact in regards to one's very thinking and with respect to life in general as it pertains specifically to the realities of life. Realities, i.e. God's plan in life. See, that's reality. People like to philosophically discuss these things of reality and all everything else in life. This book right here is the reality of all these things. And our endeavors for those communicators in time and believers who seek to studiously study to show themselves approved has a blessing overall as they maintain their consistency and discipline in that regards to grow and learn more and more in regards to their particular Christian life. Therefore, verse 13, otherwise, part of your judgment is that you won't be privy to these things. So, you're not privy because you're not hanging out with the right people. Abraham's hanging out with the right people. That's Yahweh and the angels. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. Ideas, concepts explained in a parabolic fashion. It's something that has to be unwound in understanding. It's not on the surface clear. And you've got to truly have an interest to know what's going on for it to become clear. Because while seeing, they do not see. It looks at the physical, spiritual realities of life. Physically, people can see these things. They can express it on that level. But spiritually, they remain blind to the consequences of realities in regards to these things as it pertains to God's plan in toto, especially as to judgment, eternal life, and other aspects, blessing and cursing in life. And judgment, divine discipline, things of that nature. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. That's why adjusted communicators, they don't worry about, you know, people, well, maybe they won't understand. I guarantee if they're positive, they will gap the information they need to have for their life right then and right there to advance themselves. If they hang in there with it, that knowledge will continue to grow. See. And the insight will become deeper and deeper for them in regards to the particulars of God's plans and how all these things relate. I guarantee you, you know, I didn't have a full appreciation or understanding of concepts such as, an example, truly of righteousness until after actually several years of doctrine. And looking at it and going, wow. Then you see it. Why? It can only, salvation can only be by faith and to have God's righteousness and what it means in absolute sense regards to our Christian experience. See? You hang in there, God will give you insight. And here we have an example of now God's omniscience operating to provide this insight with respect to, in view here, Abraham. And it centers on blessing and judgment otherwise and positive and negative volition. Now, we're given that blessing because of our positive volition. We desire, we seek. and we're willing to commit ourselves in regards to NPR, et cetera, to learn. But it has also a further purpose. It's not just to become a walking biblical encyclopedia.
See.
To be able to spit out the verses, have it all memorized or whatever. No, it's for the purpose of application in regards to our life. And that's point 17. This so the believer may represent himself as an example to others in conduct and witness of the word, or word, capitalized or small, however you want to look at it, Jesus Christ, Bible doctrine. You can't divide it effectively. It is the incarnation of Bible doctrine Jesus Christ was and is.
See?
Whole logos. The word. So we gain the particulars in regards to prophetic information in the sense of future events. In essence, all doctrine is prophetic. It's God inspired to someone who then, with knowledge that they didn't have previously, and they wrote it down. In that sense, as we know, Peter says, no prophecy is done apart from God the Holy Spirit. And with all this insight that we're given, is so that we can plug it into our own lives and function accordingly, and that's how we are an effective witness to others around us, no matter what the reaction may be otherwise. We remain an effective witness. Don't think that because you may plug in and know all this doctrine and you're applying it in your life that it's going to have a positive impact on people around you. Not in the sense of, you know, they're going to come over to your side every time. No, I doubt that's going to happen. But it does have a positive impact in regards to you fulfilling God's plan for your life in His eyes. What that is acceptable to Him. We call that action with honor. See, action with honor. That which is rewardable. And it really has the designed effect in regards to what Bible doctrine is all about. And it may come in the form of, you know, being around people and just general conversation, talking about the election and the events of our nation and the world at large. And, you know, you spit out some doctrine. You don't even have to tell them it's from the Bible. Generally, that'll turn them off. I've been on opportunities like that. Just, well, you know, well, what's going to happen here is blah, blah, blah. You just rip off a little doctrine. Huh, really? Then if they're really interested, where'd you get that from? And then, you know, you take the open door and you slam it in their face. Figure it out. You want to know? Follow me around every day, every second of my life and see where I go. Not really. I'm not that mean. But anyway, so we have all this. Yeah, I know it's a lot of thinking, but it's necessary if you really want to capture the full flavor of what's going on here in these verses. Which we will wait until Thursday to continue to work on since class is up. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.